Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you thankful for the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I feel His presence here. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for helping me. I'd like to hear that electric guitar again, too, if you want to come back, brother. It's up to you. I like that. I like to hear it. It's good to be here tonight. I'm thankful. Thank you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Kind of feel bad because several times now we've tried and something came up, either a missions trip or something would come up and we wouldn't able to. And so I wanted to, if possible, while I was out here again, to make up for that. But it's good to be here tonight. Amen. I look up to Brother Hurst. You have a wonderful pastor. He's a great example in ministry. And the older I get, the more I realize how important that is to have men of God that you can pattern your life after. And I appreciate that. I'm going to try to sing here. Usually, will this mic go on here? Or are you going to, okay. Okay. Usually I just get up and sing. That way I can go ahead and get the embarrassment out of the way. That's usually the way it goes for me. But, man, good singing here tonight. Amen. Amen. You thankful for mercy? Amen. I'm thankful for the Lord and His grace. I don't know where I would be without the Lord. Amen. And I'm sure that most of us would agree with that. But this song goes like this. I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, but what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. Was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken, I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Oh, called to the stand, God's saving
forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Hallelujah. Brother, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for mercy? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I, once again, thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Brother, if you'll just hold off on that slide thing for just a second, I like the element of surprise. How many like the element of surprise? I do. Last time I was here, I'm going to tell something on myself, if that's all right with you. Last time I was here was when I was in choir at OBI my freshman year. And that's been a few days ago. That's been about 10 or 11 years ago, somewhere around there. And I said one of the dumbest things from this pulpit. And ever since then, I thought, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to make it right. Brother David asked me to testify for a song that we sang, and it was about the Holy Ghost. If you remember our year, we sang a song about the Holy Ghost. And so I was testifying, you know, how us young preachers are, you know, we're just in that moment where we're just fired up, you know. And I was testifying about the Holy Ghost. And I said, the Holy Ghost is detrimental to you. I don't know whether I was just trying to use a big word that sounded good, but that is not the truth. So I want to make that right tonight. The Holy Ghost is not detrimental to you. It is essential. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. I feel better. I'm feeling better already. So if the Lord would help me, I'm going to preach just a little bit. And brother, I'll tell you when, if that's all right. I'm going to preach just a little bit if you'll help me. This is one of those messages that I'm going to have to get a drink already. I always hated it when I was sitting in the audience and the guy up there drinking that water. I'm thinking, man, I'm so thirsty. You know, you want to go get a drink, a glass of water? Now I can do that, and you can be the one. But anyway, you know, some messages you get from the Lord, and they're easy to preach, relatively speaking. You know, you can feel. And then there's some that aren't always easy to preach. But they're still truth, and they're still important. And this is one of those. If I need extra help tonight, if you will. Judges chapter 6, and in just a minute we're going to read. But I read a story one time about Sherlock Holmes. Anybody ever like to read the stories of Sherlock Holmes? Man, I love those. I still do, I'll admit it. But I used to read them a lot when I was younger, and I've got several books, all those mysteries, you know, Sherlock Holmes, and he would solve the mystery, you know. He had a brilliant mind. And one time, him and Dr. Watson were on a camping trip. And after, you know, they cooked some hot dogs and some marshmallows, you know, and they did those things. And then finally, they crawled in their tent and went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, Holmes woke up and he elbowed his friend Watson and he said, Watson, he said, look up and tell me what you see. And Watson replied, you know how Watson was always trying to one-up one on Sherlock, and he never did just get there. You know, because Sherlock was so smart. You know, he tried, but he couldn't get there. So Watson said, you know, he thought, well, this is my chance, you know. So he said, well, he pondered that for a moment, and he said, well, astronomically, it tells me that there's millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. He said, astrologically, I observe that Saturn is within the Leo constellation. Chronologically, I observe it's nighttime, 3 a.m. on June the 14th. He said, meteorologically, that's a long word, air appears dry. And I suspect that we will have a beautiful day. He said, why did you ask? What does it tell you? And Holmes replied, Watson, you idiot. Someone has stolen our tent. He's seen the stars. No tent. But I want to tell you tonight that the moment that you're not watching, the moment that you let down your guard, the devil's ready to move in and steal your home. I'm going to preach for just a little bit on the battle for the home. There was a survey done among 286 Christian teens. 45% said they had experienced a demonic presence in their room. 59% said they'd harbored bad thoughts about God. 43% said they'd find it hard to pray and read their Bible. 69% reported hearing voices in their head. 22% said they frequently entertained thoughts of suicide. 22% of Christian young people frequently entertain the thought of suicide. That blows my mind. But it's real. I'm telling you that the devil is out to steal your home. Brother, you can put it up there. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 6. The first 12 verses here. I'm going to refer to Judges chapter 6 all the way through chapter 8. And now you're thinking, well, that's going to take a while. But no, I pray that the Lord will help me, and it won't. Just the first 12 verses of chapter 6, and it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, not to be confused with Oprah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, for just a few moments, Lord, I pray that you would anoint, Lord, the words that I speak, Lord. Somehow, Lord, these feeble lips, Lord, to be able to speak of this word and this gospel. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts most of all in this altar service. Lord, deal with us, convict us, challenge us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a battle taking place for your home. It's an all-out assault. And your home is in this battle. You ignore the battle, you'll lose the battle. You know, we've ignored a lot of things in the United States of America especially. And you know what's happened? It's overtook us. You can't ignore it. Christian homes are losing the battle for marriages. Christian homes are losing the battle for their children, just like we've lost some of those other battles because we've ignored the battle. There's an attack. And if we let our guards down, then our homes can be broken into and we can lose ground. And it's time for us as Christians to go to battle for our homes. We can't afford to let another day go by before taking back our home and restoring its God-given purpose. You see, God has a purpose for the home. He instituted the home, and it's important, and it's special. That's why the devil hates it. The home was meant for instruction. The home was meant to learn how to worship. Do we worship at church? Yes. Is that important at church? Yes. But you know where you need to learn how to worship and your children need to learn how to worship? That's in the home. Home was meant for how to learn duties and unity and forgiveness. Those things are important. Parents, you're teaching your children forgiveness by how you deal with them. Rejoicing. Those things is the purpose of the home. And if we are to keep from losing our homes, then we have to wage this battle on the enemy. And so I'd like to look for here from the book of Judges and examine the life of Gideon. And the book of Judges takes place here before Israel really had a king. And Israel is just a loose collection at this time of tribes kind of thrown together by a common history and ancestry and the worship of the one true God. And God had delivered Israel from slavery there in Egypt, and under Joshua, they had conquered the land of Canaan. But after Joshua's death, the people began to stray from following God. And that resulted in that cycle that was repeated many, many times in the Old Testament. And really, it's pretty relevant today. You know, it's a cycle. You see people, they serve the Lord for a while, and then they don't serve the Lord, and they fall out, and they get bitter. And then maybe that they'll cry out to the Lord, circumstances may happen, and then they'll start that cycle over again. Does it have to be that way? No. But it's reality. So Gideon, God would hear his children. He would send him a deliverer who was called a judge. They would lead the people to the victory over their enemies. And for a while, then the people would follow God again. So Gideon, he was the fifth of 15 judges that ruled Israel. He set Israel free from the oppression of the Midianites. And he brought relative peace to Israel for around 40 years. Gideon was a judge who knew how to do battle. He was a warrior judge. So the first thing, I want to look at it. Three different battle lessons from the life of Gideon. And I believe that if we can grasp these three things, that it can revolutionize our home. Hallelujah. And restore to that God-given purpose. The first thing that we learn from Gideon here concerning doing battle is, number one, it takes a warrior, not a wimp. Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That's talking about a man or a woman that's engaged in or experienced in warfare. The head of the household really is what this is pointing at. And a lot of my message here tonight, and I don't want to leave anybody out, and I hope that it won't, but really a large part of my message is directed to the man of the house or the leader of the home. So important. That position is so critical in the day and time that we live. For our own lives spiritually and for our family, but as a collective church, it's so important. We've got to get a hold of that. But if you're going to fight the battle that's taking place for the home, then we must be a warrior and not a wimp. There's not any room for wimps in the kingdom of God. The angel here, he finds Gideon. What's he doing? He's trying to provide for his family. But he's under great distress from the Midianites. How many could say, I'm right there? We're trying to do our best for our family, trying to provide, But we're under distress. It happens. It's part of it. But what is he doing? It doesn't seem like Gideon here at this point is a mighty warrior. You know, he's still threshing the wheat, even though it could be taken at any moment by the enemy. But he's still doing it. He's still threshing the wheat. You know what I think Gideon was doing? He was fighting for survival. He was fighting for survival. And the small quantity, if you study this out, the small quantity of grain that he was threshing there, it indicated that he was using a flail. Instead of the customary, they would take the cattle and they would tread out the wheat and the chaff would blow away. And usually that was done, you know, on the threshing floor. But here he's in an unusual place. He's near the wine press under a tree and he's there on the bare ground, not on the wooden floor that they normally would use. Why? To prevent noise. Because if the enemy heard them threshing the wheat, they would come, they would take it, and they would lose everything. But Gideon was doing his best to provide for his family and protect his family. That's the reason why he was doing that. He was trying to be quiet. He was trying to protect his family. And so all these circumstances reveal, you know, the extreme circumstances that these people were living in. I mean, imagine what it must have been like under the oppression of all these enemies, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all those from the east even, where came and they hated Israel. You see, God is not as focused on who you were, but who you are, as he is on who you can become. How many's thankful for that? That he's more focused on who you can become if you're willing. If you're willing. You see, your home needs a warrior, and that warrior is you. Men, leaders of the home, that warrior is you. And I can imagine how Gideon must have felt under this oppression. But you know, he was still trying to do his best to fill his God-given role in the home. He was providing and he was protecting out of love. And you know what? That's the qualities of a warrior, where you can provide for your home and you can protect your home because you love them. I love my wife. I love my children. And because of that, I make certain decisions under the direction of the Lord. Hallelujah. But if you don't stand up as a warrior in your home, you know what? Nobody's going to. That's your job. You know, leaderless, warriorless homes, I deal with these on a daily basis. And some of the things I've experienced will break your heart. It'll break your heart to see what some of these children go through in the dysfunctional homes that they live in. And I deal with those. They leave broken, dysfunctional legacies, homes that have no leader and no warrior. They leave dysfunctional legacies. It leaves scarred children with almost insurmountable difficulties starting out in life because of the lack of a leader. I want to read you something. This is some comments that are from my students in public school. When asked the question to write in 50 words or less what they would write to their parents if they had the opportunity. And here's some of the comments that I have. And you'll notice that most of these comments are directed toward the father of the home. I wish my parents knew what the relationship between me and my boyfriend really is, so that I would have someone to talk to know if something is right or wrong. What does that tell you? There's no communication in homes. Those young people are searching for help. They want help. They want it. And they need it, and they realize that they need it, and they're looking for someone, a leader, that can tell them, this is what kind of relationship this is, and yes, this is good, or no, this is bad, stay away from it. But in this situation, no one's there. Maybe they're working too much, they don't have any time, maybe it's a broken home, I don't know. Here's another one. Dad, I wish my father knew how to say I love you. My mom hasn't hugged me in a long time. I wish my family could say, I love you. Young people are needing that, desperately needing that. And sometimes guys, you know, they think, I'm too macho to give somebody a hug or tell my child that I love them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You need to be a warrior. And you know what? A warrior will serve out love. And a warrior is going to hug their children and tell them, I love you and I appreciate you. And you're doing good. And what can I do to help you? Here's another one. Dad, I've wanted to tell you for a long time, I resent you as a father. You never seem interested in me. You always have been a provider, not a father. Oh, dear Jesus. Sometimes, and I know it's easy, men, I'm there. You feel like my primary job is providing for my home. And is that an important thing? Yes, and the Bible tells us that. But you know what? There's more to it than just providing. And this right here, you've always been a provider, great provider, but you haven't been a father. Oh, Jesus, help us. Here's another one. Mom and Dad, I have a great fear of having a great relationship with someone when I know the problems you have. I sometimes wonder if it's possible for me. I've determined I'm not going to be the same as you, but I'm afraid that I will be. Oh, dear Lord. That's a young person that's hurting. Their heart has been broken. They look at the relationship in their home and they say, I don't want that. That's not what I want. I do not want to be like my mother and father. That's a leaderless, warriorless home. And we can't afford to be that. Here's the last one. Mom and Dad, I wish you knew how much divorce scares me. You see, this generation of children are growing up with a fear of divorce because of what their families went through, and they don't want it. But they're not going to escape it without a leader and a warrior in the home. And we've got to be that. And really, you know, the foundation of the church, the future of the church, the future of this nation rests in the hands of the man of the house and the leader of the home. That's where it is. Homes need a warrior. Why? Because homes have an enemy. And God was calling Gideon because the Midianites, they were plundering the people of Israel, and the Amalekites and the children of the east were all against them. It seemed like everyone was against them. And you know what? Men, leaders of the home, we can feel the same way today. Everyone's against you. The world's against you. The devil's after your home. But I want to tell you tonight that you can thrive and survive and be a leader and a warrior in your home. You see, the Midianites hated Israel. They wanted to destroy them. They were desperate. They were hiding in the caves in the mountains to get away from the enemy. But Satan hates your family and he wants to destroy your home. Satan hates stable, healthy, and godly homes. You know why? Because God designed the home. And Satan, he hates anything to do with what God designed. If you have a home, you're his enemy, his number one target. Stand yourself for battle, because some homes are in that same state as Israel were in. Homes are famined. They're scared. They're living in the caves. And they're in need of a Gideon warrior who will rise up and fight for their home. And that's you. You know, in a world where trash and perversion is pushed down your children's faces every single day and night, a wimpy leader will not emerge victorious in the home. Parents, there's a battle for your home. There's a battle for your children. There's a battle for your marriage. I've never seen anything like I've seen lately with the devil destroying homes. I'm talking young people that have been married 6 months, a year, people that I went to Bible school with, already divorced. I couldn't tell you number. How many? Why? The devil hates the home. And if he can find one way to get in, he will get in it. He'll destroy it because he hates it. Unless you protect and nurture your marriage, it's going to be lost. Unless you draw clear boundaries, your children will be led astray. Unless you do spiritual battle, your children will be casualties. Unless you become a warrior, the battlefield, your battlefield will be plundered. It takes a warrior, not a wimp. Second thing, you must destroy things that are destructive to your home. Judges chapter 6, verse 25 through 26. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. What happened here? Gideon, God told Gideon to destroy the things that were destructive to his home. And Gideon obeyed.